Welcome to Simple Living Works. I'm Jerry Iverson. I'm pleased to be your host for Whose Birthday? Featuring audio selections from Simple Living Works' signature publication, the annual Advent Christmas resource for individuals, families, and congregations. Whose birthday is it, anyway? If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue. We've produced a real treasure trove of free audio, video, and text resources for you, your family, and your congregation or group. We promote alternative giving. See the link in the show notes for the guidelines for year-round alternative giving, as well as the classic Christmas versions. Basically, alternative giving means giving away at least 25% of what we spent last year on all celebrations, Christmas, birthdays, etc., to local, national, and international causes. Our mission is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. All three parts of our mission are especially wrapped up in our resources for Advent and Christmas, when consumerism is at its peak, when we need reminders both to be charitable instead of spending so much on ourselves, and to challenge the systems that make charity necessary, and to celebrate in simple ways that focus on relationships instead of stuff. Our site contains familiar titles such as Unplug the Christmas Machine Workshop, Carols with Justice, The Celebration Revolution of Alexander Scrooge, What Does Jesus Want for Christmas, and many more. Check out our extensive resource list. The link is given in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Much of the Whose Birthday series is also available in Spanish text. Please share it with your Spanish-speaking friends. See the link in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. This short series is different from previous year's Whose Birthday podcast series, which, by the way, are still available on our site if you missed them or would like to hear them again. Visit simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, click on Preview, Backup. In this episode, I present part of an audio adaptation of the well-known Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? I hope you listen to the entire series, though each episode is self-contained. The series contains reflections and activities designed especially for the weeks of Advent and Christmas, including the Feast of the Epiphany. We'll have guests, writers, some well-known, some lesser-known. The biblical reflections are by Kathy McGinnis, whom you met in episode 103, and her late husband Jim, whom together co-founded and co-directed the Institute for Peace and Justice and its well-known program, Parenting for Peace and Justice. Links to the references in this episode are in the show notes. I'll let you in on a little secret. All the episodes of this short series are already produced and available at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, in the Preview Backup Index. So if you don't want to wait for each to be released in iTunes or Stitcher, visit the site and listen to all or some of the series. The topics for all the episodes in the series are listed in the show notes for each episode. The series comes from edition number 15, which is based on liturgical cycle B, the Gospel of Mark, the same as this Advent and Christmas season. A Simple Christmas, calendar for Advent and Christmas for 2017, based largely on A Simple Christmas by Alice Chapman, used by permission of Herald Press, Scottsdale, Pennsylvania. See the show notes for links to the original English text. This Advent Christmas calendar is based on liturgical cycle B for the Gospel of Mark. Continued from the previous episode. December 25th, Christmas Day. Read and meditate at dawn on Isaiah 62, 6-12, Titus 3, verse 4, and or Luke 2, verses 8-20. Later read and meditate on Isaiah 52, verses 7-10, Hebrews 1, and or John 1, 1-14. December 26th, Coping with Christmas. Try to relieve kids' stress by planning one simple celebration to please them for each of the 12 days of Christmas from December 25th through January 6th. Festive days might include day to polish the silverware, day to bake fruitcakes, day to decorate your clothes. kids cut out holly designs from felt and sew them on dresses, shirts, slacks, and socks to make them real holiday standouts. A day for Christmas carol listening. Mom plays Christmas music on the stereo from breakfast to bedtime. More are given later. December 27th. Day to stay up as late as you want. December 28th. Holy Innocents Day. On this day, King Herod had young children killed in his vain attempt to eliminate the baby Jesus. Remember in prayer children around the world who do not have the food, shelter, education, or care they need. Think of one thing your family can do to move beyond prayer to benefit those children. Then do it. December 29th. Day to hear as many stories as you want. December 30th. The family at New Year's. New Year's is a time to assess the past, then look ahead and begin again. A family can thank God for times when they have lived up to their own expectations and dream new dreams when they have not. Planning together, even informally, for the upcoming months adds a new dimension of expectation to days ahead. Below are the ideas that others have used successfully to enhance family togetherness and extend the spirit of Christmas into the new year. December 31st. In the morning, being that this is the first Sunday after Christmas, read and meditate on Isaiah 61, verses 10 through chapter 62, verse 3. Also Galatians 4, 4 through 7, and or Luke 2, 22 to 40. Share the reflection for this day, and whose birthday is it anyway? In the evening of December 31st, which is New Year's Eve, look back. On New Year's Eve, create an atmosphere of togetherness by abolishing bedtime rules and having a treat. A pizza supper for the party. Serve it in front of the fireplace or in the living room around 11 o'clock. If you don't want to fix a whole meal, brew hot spiced cider and have the teens make popcorn balls as everyone gathers to talk about the events of the past year. Listen empathetically to each one and encourage one another, as it says in Hebrews 10:25. Tell your family that no blaming or judgmental comments are allowed. As it says in Matthew 7:1, do not judge so that you may not be judged. To do this, appoint someone as gatekeeper, alert to quickly rule out any expressions that are out of bounds. Spark the discussion by asking, what has been the high point of the year for our family? What is the best thing our family did together this year, and the worst? What is the best thing that happened to you personally, and the worst? What is your biggest disappointment? How have you changed? Who was the most important person in your life this past year? Why? What is one thing you might wish you had done differently? What are you most thankful for right now? Encourage gratitude for things everyone tends to take for granted, such as music, eyesight, hearing, or Christmas trees and cranberries, or eggs and toast for breakfast. My family laughed together as we remembered four rained-out camping trips. We cried a little as we reminisced about our beloved Kitty, who died in September. This kind of sharing stirs the warmest of memories and brings a family close together. At midnight, bring in the new year by holding hands and saying the Lord's Prayer aloud. January 1st, New Year's Day. Maybe an adult or teenager can be enlisted to bring a family diary to record small and large happenings, celebrations, personal thoughts, opinions overheard, and changes around the home during the coming year. Then read the accounts when the family gathers at next New Year's. The writing may still likely stir a good time of conversation when almost forgotten events are relived. January 2nd. Day to take turns riding in the front seat of the car. January 3rd, no chores day. January 4th, day for not having to get dressed all day long. January 5th, day for kids to choose the menu. January 6th, day of the Epiphany. Read and meditate on Isaiah 60, 1 through 6, Ephesians 3, and or Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Share the reflection for this day. And whose birthday is it anyway? Offer the money you have been saving to the cause of your choice. January 7th, Epiphany Sunday, also the second Sunday after Christmas. This is Mom's Day. Read and meditate on Jeremiah 31, verses 7 through 14, Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, and or John 1. If you celebrate Epiphany today, share the reflection, in whose birthday is it, anyway? Christmas 1, Holy Family Sunday. Over all these clothes, put on love. Luke 2, verses 32 to 34. They took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As the child's father and mother stood there, wondering at the things that were being said about him, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, "A sword will pierce your own soul." This first description of the Holy Family is a painful one, one that most families can identify with. No matter how much we love our children, or better, precisely because of how much we love them, we will suffer with them. Their hurts become our hurts, and at some point, we have to let them go. One of the most poignant and pertinent 20th century descriptions of a holy family is about the Lebanese poet-philosopher Khalil Gibran. In The Prophet, his description of holy parenting has inspired millions of families. Quote, "These children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You are the bows from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite and bends you with the might that his arrows might go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hands be for gladness. For even as the archer loves the arrow that flies, so the archer loves also the bow that is stable." Close quote. Colossians 3 says, "You shall be clothed in sincere compassion, in kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with one another, forgive each other as soon as a quarrel begins. Over all these clothes, put on love. Children, be obedient. Parents, don't nag your children, lest they lose heart." Paul's description of a holy family has a little something for every family member, but behind each admonition is the foundation of all family life, love. This gentle, affirming, and forgiving love, so beautifully expressed in first century Christianity, has been uniquely specified in a family pledge of nonviolence for the 21st century. As an outline for family holiness, especially during the UN decade for the culture of peace and nonviolence for the sake of children of the world, families of faith throughout the world are reaffirming this Sunday their commitments to this family pledge. We offer it here as a practical way of living year-round the message of today's readings. The Family Pledge of Nonviolence. Making peace must start within ourselves and in our family. Each of us, members of the blank family, commit ourselves as best we can to become nonviolent and peaceful people. Respect self and others. To respect myself, to affirm others, and to avoid uncaring criticism, hateful words, physical attacks, and self-destructive behavior. Communicate better. To share my feelings honestly, to look for safe ways to express my anger, and to work at solving problems peacefully. Listen carefully. To listen carefully to one another, especially those who disagree with me, and to consider others' feelings and needs rather than insist on having my own way. Forgive. To apologize and make amends when I hurt another, to forgive others, and to keep from holding grudges. Respect nature. To treat the environment and all living things, including our pets, with respect and care. Play creatively. To select entertainment and toys that support our family's values, and to avoid entertainment that makes violence look exciting, funny, or acceptable. Be courteous. To challenge violence in all its forms whenever I encounter it, whether at home, at school, at work, or in the community, and to stand with others who are treated unfairly. Epiphany of the Lord. Then they opened their treasures. Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 3. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. Nations shall walk by your light. Jerusalem was the symbol of light and peace for God's Hebrew people and therefore for Jesus. The Hebrew prophets for centuries kept their vision and promise of the light that would be theirs on the day of the Messiah. And behold, that day burst forth in the town of Bethlehem. Jesus, the light, love, and peace of God made flesh, preached and lived this message. But like the Hebrew prophets before him, he was rejected by the very people he came to save, especially in his city of peace, Jerusalem. The violence in Jerusalem brought Jesus to tears. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if only today you knew the things that make for peace. That's from Luke 19, verse 42. You can imagine Jesus' tears and hear his words addressed to our own nation. We see ourselves as the symbol of peace and freedom for the rest of the world, with other nations walking by our light. America, America, if only today you knew the things that make for peace. When we are at our best, we are the light of the world. But today's readings challenge us individually and as a nation to rise up and be the best we can be, because often we are not. Matthew 2:11, they prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures. As a nation, we can open our great wealth and share it far more justly. As individuals, while we may not have the wealth of kings, most of us are relatively wealthy, at least compared with the majority of the world. How can we open up our own treasures for others? In terms of the needy and our own community, we can reach out to children in poverty by becoming mentors. Each one, teach one. We can encourage young people to assist us with work around our homes, shoveling snow, cutting grass, helping with a garden. Whole families can spend an afternoon or evening at a shelter and play with the children there, as well as eat dinner together. In terms of the economically poor in other nations, especially at gift-giving times, we can purchase the handicrafts of artisans from these third-world countries. Some families spend Epiphany bringing their presents to villagers in Haiti and Nicaragua. As Gretel Montoya, head of the organized women in the Nicaraguan village of Mulucucu, put in our delegation of three families years ago, "You are the manifestation of God to us." But we turned it around and told her that she and the others in Mulucucu are the manifestation of God to us. And they were. But so were we. Others can't bring their presence in person, have sponsored children in other countries. In Nicaragua, the Niño a Niño program makes it possible for children to attend elementary school, plus some after-school enrichment activities. North Americans finance the program at $50 per child. For family reflection and action. 1. What gifts can you individually and or as a family bring to those in need around you and overseas? 2. How can you do more faithfully the things that make for peace? Use the Family Pledge of Nonviolence as your guide. You've been listening to one part of the audio version of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? The text for all of these items are available through the links in the show notes. Visit simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. You're welcome to contribute to the online edition of Whose Birthday. This year is number 29. It is updated as new material arrives, so send ideas and items anytime. Prepare something now while it's really on your mind, such as art. Art that depicts the tension between faith and culture, especially at Christmas. Personal experiences, especially intergenerational ones, related to simplifying Christmas or finding meaning and happiness in relationships instead of stuff. Family activities, rituals or worshipful ceremonies for Advent, Christmas, or Epiphany. We reach many through our website, blogs, and other media. Sorry we cannot pay for any submissions. To read the complete submission guidelines and past editions, use the link in the show notes. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on the Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes. After this short series, we'll return to our interview format. Time to wrap up this episode of Simple Living Works podcast. If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember that you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Click Preview, Backup, and choose the episodes you want with or without show notes. Subscriptions to this podcast and our weekly blog are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe in iTunes to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, which I produce and co-host with Jubilee One Earth Economics. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It's not a list of rules nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the 5 life standards of Living More with Less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. I've discussed these standards in earlier episodes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 through 2011. The 3 parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Do not conform to the world. Be certain that better's not more. Contentment will transform your need, awakening what God has in store. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.